Hey there, Mennonerds. This is Steve Kimes again. I really think it's time for us to seriously struggle with the Bible and our pacifist heritage. So, Greg Boyd just released a book called Crucifixion of the Warrior God, which tackles a really tough topic. If we're serious about Jesus, about loving our enemies, about the way of the cross being the heart of the gospel, then what do we make of the portrait of God in the Old Testament, who seems pretty angry, violent, and at times kind of petty? The God of Deuteronomy demands genocide and the killing of women and children. The God of Numbers tells warriors to rape women and opens up the ground to swallow people who question Moses' leadership. The God of Samuel kills a man for trying to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling. The God of Ezra tells men to divorce their wives in order to get racially pure ones. Sure, the God of compassion and forgiveness is in the Old Testament too, but that's not the only portrait of God that we see, and an argument can be made about which portrait is actually, we'll say, more common. Frankly, if we're serious about Jesus, then we have to take these portraits of God seriously, too. It's no wonder that Marcion and the other early non-Orthodox Christians and students of the Bible, the Christian students of the Bible, considered the God of the Old Testament to be a different one than the God of Jesus, because they wanted to take the Bible seriously and they wanted to take Jesus seriously. But it's tough to keep a belief in the inspiration of Scripture and to see the Father of Jesus and the violent God of the Old Testament the same person. Now, you could read Greg Boyd's book or listen to his interviews with Paul or one of the other things, listen to his sermons, and you could just accept his answer. Or you could listen to or you could just go ahead and give your answer now before you look into that. The thing is that he's done an amazing job and done a lot of thorough research. But I'm going to hear from you. I'm going to hear your perspective. What do you think is going on? Is God truly wrathful? And is ready to ask us to kill as to love our enemies? Is the presentation of God in the Old Testament inaccurate in some way? Is the Old Testament inaccurate? And if so, what do we mean when we say that the whole Bible is inspired? Did God just change his mind between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Is violence something that God retains for himself, but he doesn't actually ask humans to do? Well, these are some options, and I know that there's a lot more, but I want to hear what you think. Now, at this point, I would usually give my own point of view, but I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to leave this introduction here, and then I'm going to make a separate presentation of my point of view, so that way you can give your point of view without myself or Greg Boyd or anybody else kind of giving your point of view. And then we can kind of have a discussion about it. I don't know if Ryan is going to let me do that, but that's going to be what I'm going to try to do. So I want to hear what it is that you think. What do you think, Meadow Nerds? How do we deal with the Old Testament? How do we deal with the different portrayals of God? Send me a blog entry and do it now. Okay, do it when you're able to. Okay, that's fine.
Hey there, Minnow Nerds. This is Steve Kimes. I want to say that I'm calling in. I'm calling in to follow up on my introduction about pacifism in the Old Testament, the fact that we as Anabaptists believe that Jesus taught us to love our enemies, to not be violent, to love all people without exclusion. But in the Old Testament, God is represented as telling people to commit genocide, telling people to do all kinds of horrible atrocities, to rape, that it's okay to rape women, that it's okay to do all these really heinous things. So I want to just say, okay, this is my perspective. I didn't give my perspective in the introduction. I want to do it, and I hope I don't run too long here. So I'm going to try and do it fast. Let me just make some introductory comments. First of all, I want to make sure that we understand that Jesus is the one who interprets the Old Testament. Jesus says in Matthew 23, "You have no teacher but the Christ." Jesus is the only one who is the teacher. All the rest of us are interpreters. And that doesn't matter whether it's Moses or David or Paul or James or John. All the rest of us are interpreters, but the Christ, Jesus, he's the only one who's the teacher. He's the only one whose word is authoritative. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "In times past, God spoke to us through prophets, but in these days, he speaks to us through a son who actually understands." And we know that he's the one who understands and not any of the others. Jesus himself said, "No one knows the Father but the Son and those whom the Son reveals him to." Nobody else understands. The Son is the only one who understands, and the only way that we can understand anything about the Father is through the Son. So Jesus is the teacher. The rest of us are interpreters. Now, when Jesus is guiding us to interpret the Bible, whether Old Testament or New Testament, he's telling us to interpret the Bible through love. So if it is loving, then it's good and it's worth following. If it isn't loving, then we don't follow that. So, for example, Jesus gives us the example of Matthew chapter 12. He's talking about Sabbath laws and how it's easy to have an interpretation of the Sabbath laws that are not loving. And he shows through Old Testament scripture about laws and authoritative teaching that is dismissed because it's not loving. For instance, David comes over, he needs some food. The only food that the priest has is food that legally can only be given to priests, but the priest passed it on to David and his men because they were hungry and they needed something to eat. And so Jesus says, this is the basic rule of interpretation, that it's supposed to be about mercy and not sacrifice. It's always about mercy. We never demand a sacrifice. We always demand mercy, or the scripture never demands sacrifice. The scripture always demands mercy. And then the other thing that we need to remember is Jesus, at times, he just dismisses the Old Testament. When Jesus is talking about divorce, he just says, "Oh yeah, divorce. That's that thing that Moses put in there because you guys wouldn't accept anything else." He basically just dismisses that law. He says, "No, that law isn't worthy to be considered on the same level as, say, love your neighbor as yourself. It's not to be considered on the same level because it's so often used in a way to hurt people. And so we're just going to dismiss that one." And that's how, and he uses, once again, he uses other parts of scripture to do that. But we cannot forget that what Jesus is doing is he is accepting certain scripture in order to dismiss other scripture, that these scriptures aren't supposed to be listened to because it's not being done in a loving way. So I want to talk about Greg Boyden just for a minute, because his book is really amazing. Crucifixion of the Warrior God. It's really amazing. His perspective is quite clear. It's very scholastic. It's really good. I really appreciate his book. And he said that if anybody interprets the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus that was crucified, then that's okay by him, and that's okay by me too. I mean, in other words, we can disagree with people. People can disagree with me, and some people may even be pretty angry at me for my particular interpretation, which I'm getting to. But I don't think that we necessarily have. I've made part of the way. I went part of the way that Greg did, but I didn't go the full way. And part of it is because he wants to hold on to the inspiration of all scripture. that all scripture is talking about God ultimately, even if it says some really tough things. And I love the perspective that he has, but I don't agree with everything that he says. And so he isn't willing to just, if a passage is contrary to what Jesus is, he's not willing to dismiss that or set that aside. He says it must be saying something else. It must be saying something else about God. There must be a hidden teaching in there somewhere. I believe that the Old Testament is the writings of a whole bunch of people who had experiences with God. And then they were interpreted, and then they were written down. And sometimes they were wrong. Whoa, look at that. There was darkness. But the thing is that according to Scripture, there was only one person who was actually right about God, and that's Jesus. He's the only one. So we can listen to the Old Testament, and we can say, yes, it was inspired. In other words, you know, God inspired these writers to write. But that doesn't mean everything they wrote is true. And Greg agrees with that. He says, you know, that they're writing from their own perspective. But I mean, some of the things are absolutely false in opposition to what it is that Jesus says. So we listen to the Old Testament. We appreciate it. We hold it as an important context for Jesus and demonstrations of how God was working with people in the past. But sometimes these folks were just wrong. There was nothing that sometimes we need to take chunks of this, of the Old Testament, and we have to dismiss it. It isn't that they were confused. It isn't that they need to be reinterpreted. Some of these passages were just plain wrong. If they're in opposition to Jesus who was crucified, then I don't really want to hold on to it. I want to use Jesus to help explore that approach, not to dismiss everything, but to be particular and glean what we can glean from the Old Testament and not accept what cannot be accepted. Jesus is the one who really understands God, nobody else. And so I think about this and I think, well, how did the Jewish people in Jesus' day, how did they understand inspiration? They didn't understand inspiration. When they were talking about scripture, they didn't understand inspiration as saying, well, this is the truth. You know, there's the truth in here somewhere, and we're going to stick with this. Rather, they took every single verse, and then they debated the verse. And sometimes they came up with interpretations that was the absolute opposite of other scriptures. They came up with interpretations that were totally different, totally unique, so that way they could have a truth that is Bible-based, but not 100%, this is what the Bible says. They have debates in there. In fact, you know, the Mishnah is just a bunch of debates between rabbis, and that had different points of view. And all these points of view are acceptable to them. That's okay. You know, it's okay to have the debate, to have the discussion. And that is part of Torah. The discussion is part of what makes inspiration. The disagreement about how to interpret it is part of the inspiration. I think that's the right track, except for one thing, which is that Jesus himself is the arbiter of that discussion. We debate and we haggle the interpretations, and then Jesus is the one who says, no, 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 don't go over there. Or Jesus is the one who says, okay, yeah, that's fine, but we have to stay in this realm, or this is really right and this isn't right. He's the one with the final deciding vote. He's also the one with the final veto to say, no, we're not going to go that direction with that interpretation. And his decision may very well, as any rabbi, the Mishnah, disagree with a large chunk of what it is that Scripture says. And he can do that because he's the Christ and he's the teacher, and we need to be listening to him. And so if he dismisses part of the Old Testament and says, no, we're not going to pay attention to that anymore, then we can follow that path. And I think that this is a discussion that we need to have. We need to have this discussion about the Old Testament. It is not, I don't believe that it is a determination to find out this single truth of Scripture, but to find out the broader, the path that Jesus that came before Jesus, and then we also need to seek the path through the New Testament of what comes after Jesus. But those ones are more fuzzy; those are more vague. While Jesus is the clear, crystal representation, 100% God. That is who God is, and that's the clarity. And the path before and the path after may be fuzzy, but Jesus is the one who's the clear crystallization of all that we need to know about God. Okay, all right, I've said too much, and so I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, this is Paul Walker. If you like what you just heard, be sure to check out more of what we have to offer at menonerds.com. It's the hub for all things MenoNerds. From there, you can learn more about these podcasts, syndicated blogs from people all over the world, books authored by some of our members, and a host of other exciting free resources for you and your church. Now, there's one last thing. What we do costs a bit of money, and we're always doing it on a volunteer basis. We have people that are committed to making this happen, but we could use more people. If you like what we do, please consider donating monthly. We have two options. You can either do a monthly donation through Patreon, or you can give a one-time donation at any time through PayPal. We love the work we do, but we do need your help to keep it going and to expand into new territory. If you would like to donate, check out menonerds.com/donate. Thanks for listening, and as always, have a great day.